Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So Tim Versalotti, pollster extraordinaire, director of the Western New England University Poll, professor of political science. How's Charlie Baker doing, the new Republican governor of Massachusetts?
He's taking some interesting steps, and right now I'd say in terms of the electorate, we haven't seen much poll data in terms of job approval or favorability in the few weeks since Charlie Baker took office. But I think right now there's sort of a wariness, a willingness to give him the benefit of the doubt just to see where things go. One of his first big acts as governor was to propose a budget for the upcoming fiscal year that starts July 1. He presented that budget recently, and it had some choices in there that would not surprise people who were following the election last year, but they may be problematic. There was a budget deficit in the current budget of about $768 million. The governor and the legislature agreed on a series of cuts to close that gap. In the new budget, those cuts remain. Plus, there are further cuts to health care for the poor and for the disabled. There are cuts to welfare programs, to early education programs. On the other hand, there is a focus on aid to higher education and cities and towns getting increased aid as well, and no new taxes or fees. So there is something for the fiscal hawks, but then for fans of higher education, for fans of local aid, there were some encouraging signs as well. When the budget came out, Democrats took a wait and see, and as we know, in Massachusetts, there are three people who hammer out the state budget: the governor, the Senate president, and the House speaker. And so there's a lot more work left to be done on this budget.
Well, Tim Versalotti, it seems to me Charlie Baker is a bit of a Republican. I mean, after all, he is a governor in a blue state. He's almost alone when it comes to the legislative breakdown versus the governor. So he has to please a lot of people. But like almost everybody else, he's concentrating on the middle class. And he's saying, basically, I think if what I'm hearing from you is correct, screw the poor, nobody cares about them.
I'll leave that statement to you, Alan. I will acknowledge, though, that he is following through on some of his campaign promises, and he is attempting to govern from a center-right position as a New England Republican governor. And he hasn't faced a major fight in the legislature yet, but people are keeping their powder dry. The other issue that progressive Democrats are watching him on is the issue of charter schools. He's a fan of charter schools. He's made some appointments in the bureaucracy that would indicate, again, that he supports charter schools. And there's a pending dust-up, perhaps, on the cap on charter schools. There is a lawsuit pending in Boston challenging the cap, and so we could see that as a front of combat in terms of political combat between Democrats and Governor Baker. That's something that remains to be seen. He is a Republican governing in a way that seems unthreatening, that seems open to discussion, but he's not waffling. He's following through on what he said he would do.
Well, yeah. Do you think he has a mandate, or did he have a policy mandate, or did he win because he wasn't Martha Coakley?
I think it was more of the latter, and his win was a fairly narrow win. No one could argue that the state said to him in some overwhelming way, we accept your proposals and we want you to come in and shake things up. And so he's been somewhat diplomatic and somewhat careful about his early moves, but make no mistake, he's governing as a Republican. And so as the budget season advances, it'll be interesting to watch again, how the Democrats and who overwhelmingly control the State House and Senate, how they respond to his choices.
Now, of course, we have, I say we because we're both residents of Massachusetts, we have a senator, Elizabeth Warren, who is wildly popular, who has said all along, I'm not running, I'm not going to run. Don't worry, Hillary, basically, I'm not running. She might even win some primaries, a lot of primaries, who knows, but she would have some trouble in the general election, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's been fascinating to watch Elizabeth Warren's recent moves because she's relatively junior in seniority in the Senate, and now she's in the minority party, but she hasn't lowered her public profile. She's been very clever in her attempts to follow through on her agenda in terms of dealing with income inequality and other issues important to the middle class. She has worked with President Obama on revising rules for retirement advisors so that when those of us who are trying to make smart investment choices for our retirement funds approach a financial advisor, these new rules would make the advisor be more transparent about the relative risks we're taking with these investments and the relative rewards or benefits that the advisor receives in steering us towards certain products. A basic pocketbook issues, and she's going through the executive branch because it would be very difficult to get much done in terms of legislation in the current Congress. She's also focusing on student loan debt and saying, hold on a minute, banks can borrow at a lower interest rate than students can for college. There's something wrong with that. We need to make some changes, and it's possible that some of that could be done through executive action as well. So she's being very clever in terms of not just the issues she's choosing, but the route that she's taking to try and affect some change on those issues.
So we only have 2 minutes, but I want to ask you this. What does she have to do to position herself to run for president at some point?
I'm not sure she ever wants to run for president. I think she sees the compromises that presidents have to make and the challenges, especially given the prospects of the Democrats winning back the House anytime soon because of redistricting. That's a really tall order. And I think, at least for the foreseeable future, she's picking her battles and finding ways. She's also beginning to work with state legislators in terms of giving them policy ideas for dealing with the minimum wage and family medical leave and pay equality at the state level, where those issues stand a better chance of seeing some movement than they do at the national level.
What about the ACA and the Supreme Court?
Oh, boy. All eyes are going to be on the court in late June when they hand down their decision in the Affordable Care Act. It could create chaos in the healthcare market in the United States because about three dozen states could be affected, and anywhere from 7 to 8 million people could lose the federal subsidies for their health insurance.
You got a prediction? We only have a minute. You got a prediction?
Only if nobody digs this up at the end of June. I predict 5-4 preserving the federal subsidies in the federal exchanges with Anthony Kennedy saving the day. Don't hold me to it.
I see it as 6-3, but what can I tell you? In the same direction, but John Roberts may be under so much pressure from his fellow conservatives that he says, if Kennedy's going to save my hash, I'll just go the other way and make everybody happy.
Yeah, that could be. He was very quiet during the oral arguments. It's a little hard to predict.
It's great to talk to Tim Versalotti, director of the Western New England University Poll, a regular here on WAMC, and we love him. Tim, you're always welcome here. When we come back the next time, I'm going to throw you a bunch of names. I want you to respond to them, okay?
Okay.